Lord.
So today is our cultural Sunday, and I want to remind us of a lot of things. Thank you. Thank God for the prayer that we just did. It's in line with that, and it's in line with the theme of our church for the year 2020. And the theme of our cultural Sunday, as Sister Amaka mentioned earlier, is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And our theme is controlled and guided by the Spirit. That's Galatians 5, verse 16, AMPC. And it reads, but I say, and God is talking to you, and God is talking to me as we are reading that word. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. He now went further. You know, I like Amplify and AMPC because it breaks it down. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. Amplify says, but I say, it's almost the same thing. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him. AMPC says, responsive to, but this one it says, seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impossibly without regard for God and His precept. It's talking about our human flesh. NLT says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you will be doing what your sinful nature craves. That means this human nature, it craves for things. And sometimes, some of us that are, I'm not dieting, but some people diet. But your body will crave for something, especially sugar. It will crave for sugar, everything that has the sugar. But we have a control over our body. You can tell the body, no more of sugar. I'm not taking sugar. Even if your body is craving for it. So same thing, our body may crave for sinful things. But because we are now a new creature in Christ, we have to tell the body, no, no, that used to be chemi of old. This is a new chemi. Chemi that used to do those things, not any longer. That chemi has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And now, chemi has risen up with Christ in newness of life. So we can talk to our body, my brothers and my sisters, even if our body is craving for something. Even if our mind, our spirit, our human mind is telling us, this is what I want. But as long as that thing is not in line with the will of God, we say no to it. Capital no. N-O. So that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do in our lives. And the topic for my ministration this afternoon is living the Spirit life through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to do a lot of things in our lives, my brethren. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal more of Jesus Christ into our lives. Even though there is a certain limit of that revelation that we have when we give our life to Christ, because it is not by our own human effort that we hear the gospel and we say, God, I invite you to come into my life, to come and be my Lord and my Savior. It is not by our own strength. It is by the Spirit of God. So we'll go little by little. We are not going to rush it. I'm not going to finish this topic today by the grace of God, because it's a thing that we have to take as we go so that God can be sinking it in us by the grace of God. So we are still going to go in that line of that Galatians 5:16. We have to understand as believers, number one, that we are saved by grace. And now we are now united with Christ. We are no longer fulfilling the law any longer. We are no longer under the law. But we have been saved by the grace of God. The Bible says it is by grace that we have been saved. It is not by any works of our own. It is not by what we have done. It is what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. That is how we have been saved. So my brethren, now we are now united with Christ. Not with what we used to do. Not with the old life that we have been used to. But Christ has made our life to be new. Romans 7:4-6. I will read Amplify. Likewise, my brethren, you have undergone death as to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that now you may belong to another. That another is now Jesus, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. When we are living in the flesh, that is when we are mere physical lives. That is, we are living in the way that our parents gave birth to us. The sinful passions that we are awakened and aroused up by what the law makes sin, we are constantly operating in our natural powers, in our bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, so that we bear fruit for that. Because this body, it pushes us to do things that is not in line with the will of God. So that we bear fruit for there. But now, we are discharged from the law, to God be all the glory, and held and have terminated all intercourse with it, with the law, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. Because he held us, that law held us captive, because no one of us can fulfill all the law. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulation, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life, because he has given us that Spirit. God knows that we need that Spirit. That's why Jesus Christ said, in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Thank you. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus Christ talking to us. For I do not go away. The helper, that is the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, will come to you and I. But if I go, I will send him. He promises us, is a promise. That means the Holy Spirit is a promise. And he said, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Because Jesus Christ promised us the Holy Spirit. And see all the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He said, helper. And who is a helper? A helper is a person that helps someone else. That means we need help. All of us, including me, we need the help of God, because we can't live this life, this new life, by our own strength. The Bible says, of our own self, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And that strength he has given to us 24/7, because he said he will send the helper to help us. When we are down, he will help us. When you are flying in the air, he will help you. When you are going through life issues that seems as if you are alone, he said he will send the helper. And the helper is always with us 24/7. Even when we are sleeping, he's always there. Our God, he never sleeps nor slumber. He's always awake. And the Holy Spirit, another thing, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So we can say the Holy Spirit is God, Because you have the three persons in just the three Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He will always help us, but we have to be willing to allow him to help us because he cannot force us. He's a very gentle spirit. He will just talk to us gently. But if you don't get it, if you don't allow him, if you don't yield to him, he will just shut up. But we don't want to get to that stage and allow the Spirit of God to just don't want to talk to us any longer. We have to have a willing and yielded heart to listen to the directive of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God, we have been released from the law. For we died to it and are no longer captive to the power of the law any longer. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Another attribute of the Holy Spirit is, he said, is our counselor. I know it's a lot of things. People, some people, they are counselors. They are counseling marriage people. They are counseling youth. But this is not that kind of counselor. Holy Spirit is our counselor. A counselor is a person trained to give guidance on personal issues, social issues, or psychological problems. But the Holy Spirit is the most perfect and professional counselor that we can ever trust and put our heart on, because he will counsel us in the right way that is in line with the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, is our counselor, is our advocate. An advocate is a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. And that Holy Spirit is always there fighting for us, even when we don't know what is going on with us. Because sometimes, in our own human effort, we decide to do things not in the right perspective, thinking that, oh, I'm making the right decision. Not knowing that we have to rely completely and trust God through the power of the Holy Spirit to live our life and help us to navigate through this life successfully. So we understand that we are saved by grace and we are united with Christ. We are no longer following the law of the letters, but we are now allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct our life. To walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, we need to understand some things, and I will get there. What is the meaning of habitual? You know that verse is say habitually. But I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. So what does habitual mean? Habitual means regularly, repeatedly doing or practicing something. Regularly, all the time, always. Let me just use this word. It's a very common word. Some people say you are just an habitual latecomer. What does it mean? If you say you are just an habitual latecomer, that is regularly, all the time, you are just coming late to class or getting late to work. But that is not in the line that we are using it, because that's not a good thing to be late. But this habitual is a good habitual thing that we practice. So regularly, repeatedly, and always, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to control our life, to guide us, because only Him, only God knows the way to the wilderness. All we have to do is to follow Him. Not only wilderness, in this life. Only Him knows how, when, what, and the good and the better things that He has in stock for us. And we have to allow Him. So, number one, as I said, to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, we need to, one, Recognize and understand the Holy Spirit's role, his personality, his attribute that we just started. I will still continue. His power and other abilities in our lives. John 14:26. I mentioned it earlier, but we are going to go. I mentioned some of it. But the Comforter, we read 16:7. This is 14:26 now. But the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit. Counselor, we mentioned that. Helper, to help us in time of need. Intercessor, we just did that. We pray because God has saved us to serve in every aspect that we can be able to. He's our intercessor. What does intercessor mean? Intercessor is a person who intervenes on behalf of another person. Imagine, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us every time, because sometimes we are praying in our own human understanding, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on behalf of us with more things that we can ever think about. So we have to allow him. He is our advocate, I mentioned earlier. Somebody, a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. He is our strengthener. He strengthens us. A person who increases the strength of people to become stronger. He makes us to become stronger no matter what we are going through. Either it's favorable or unfavorable. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to be able to go through that things victoriously and successfully. He's a standby. He's our standby. A standby is somebody that is in readiness for duty or immediate, you know, when they want to redeploy somebody. But the Holy Spirit is always our standby. He's always standing with us. And I mentioned earlier, if we allow him, because you can't force us. And the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. That means the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, is the promise that Jesus Christ promised us. In my name, in my place, to represent me, because the Holy Spirit that is in us is the Spirit of God. That is why we are representative of Christ anywhere we go. Even without us opening our mouth, preaching the gospel, accept Jesus Christ into your Lord and let him be your personal Lord and Savior. Before we say that, our action, whatever we do, speak forth Christ. So he said to represent Christ in us and act on his behalf. And he said he will teach you all things. Is it some things? All things. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And it will cause you to recall. That is to remember. To remind you of what you read in the Bible. To remind you when you are sleeping and having that evil nightmare. It will remind you that in Jesus' name, get out, because Christ is living in me. And I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. We remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Student, the Holy Spirit reminds you of all that you have been reading when you get to exam hall. When you need to do your assignment, it will remind us of everything that we have learned. So my brothers and my sisters, we need to have a real understanding that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live the new life we have in Christ, because we can of ourselves do nothing. The Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Genesis 1:26. Imagine. From the creation, the Holy Spirit has been revealed. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us. Is us one person? Us. That means it's more than one person. Us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make mankind in our image after our likeness. Our image after our likeness. That is the creation. So God did not say, let me make man. He said, let us. Let us. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. So at creation, the real thing that happened showed three distinct personalities acting in three distinct parts. God was referring to himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In that Genesis that we read, you see that the Holy Spirit was manifested because he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So that means from the beginning, God has designed and promised the Holy Spirit to us because he knows that we will need the Holy Spirit in our walk with him. So in this verse, we witness the Father in that Act 10:38 that the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons working together for one purpose, one common cause, one purpose. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, New King James Version. In this account of Jesus' baptism, that was when Jesus Christ was baptized. In this account of Jesus' baptism, we will notice again the members of the Godhead manifest as three distinct persons. Jesus was baptized by John. Then the Spirit of God descended on him. And finally, God the Father declared from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is the Spirit of God. So when you see the Son, you will see the Father. And the Spirit was sent to reveal the Son to us. That is John 17:21. The Holy Spirit was sent to reveal Jesus to us. And the Holy Spirit came to teach us about the cross. About Jesus Christ that went to the cross. And thank God is no longer on the cross. So the Holy Spirit came to show us what Jesus has brought us freely. What Jesus has come to do in us to be united with him. So we cannot overemphasize and neglect the Holy Spirit in our lives, my brothers and my sisters. So God is the main purpose, and yet he has three expressions in persons who perform unique functions in our lives. Even though there are three persons, there is only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. There is only one God. Romans 3:30. Can we read that Deuteronomy 6:4, please, if you can put it on? Okay, I will go further. When she gets there, we'll read it. So we have to understand that as new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot live according to the dictates and desires of the flesh any longer, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord God is one, the only God. So that was what I want to, I waited for them to go in there. So even though there are three persons, there is only one God. That was why I read that. Understand that as new creatures, we cannot live any longer in whatever our human flesh dictates to us. But we live by whatever the Holy Spirit tells us. That is Romans 8:5. We can write it down. Jesus Christ promises the Holy Spirit. We read it, John 14, verse 16 that we read earlier. So the Holy Spirit is a promise of the Father. I want us to read Acts 1:4 to 8. The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, because Jesus, God, the Father, the Son, they both knew that we need power. We need a power that is far above our own human power. And that is the reason why he told the apostles then, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, because they believed, they accepted the word, and they stayed there. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were asking. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, this is our own Jerusalem. Not any longer over there. Because God has given us power when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. He said we will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. So we all have that power, but we have to allow that power to manifest. You have to give that power a chance to manifest. You have to let that power know, let the Holy Spirit know that you have already totally and completely surrendered yourself, yield completely to his guidance, and follow whatever he leads us to do. Praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ is saying, the Father will give you another helper who is just like him, like me. In other words, Jesus is saying that he and the Holy Spirit are of the same kind. So that means we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Whenever the Holy Spirit is leading us, let us be sensitive to whatever he's telling us. Let's make every other noise to cease. To keep quiet and allow the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear what he's telling us. Because sometimes our voice tells us stuff, but we have to recognize, is it my voice? Is it the Holy Spirit? You know, thank God for the series of the Holy Spirit, intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we've been going through in our church. Since the past, I think like 2 years now, is really, really very important, because my brothers and my sisters, these are the last days. These are the last days, and a lot of things are happening out there. But if we don't have and we don't allow the power of the Holy Spirit to take over completely, let him take over. It's like, you know, when some countries, they will say, oh, the military took over the government. But This is the government of our own life. Let the Holy Spirit be the president. Let the Holy Spirit be who? The president. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And God is now the president of your life, of my life, controlling me, controlling you. And always yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because there is no other way. There is no other way. There is only one way that leads to heaven. There is only one way that leads to God, and that is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is from him. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit. Number two, of what we need to do to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek his guidance diligently at all times. To walk and live habitually in the Spirit, we need to seek. What does seek mean? To search. You have to search for it. You have to ask. You have to go after. Go after and consult him 24/7. You wake up, God, I thank you. I'm not in control. You are in control. You are the one that is ruling in my life. My life is in you. That's what the book of Acts says. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. So we must always ask God for direction through praying in the Spirit for everything about our lives. Everything. You see, we traveled to Nigeria last month, sorry. As we were in the plane, you know, before, I used to be very scared to get on the plane. But as I started growing in Christ, I said, God, you have not given me the spirit of fear, but you have given unto me the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Why will I be scared? Because my life is in your hand, and you are the one that is in charge. And you said, you will go before me, and you will be with me, and you will be behind me. So why am I scared? So thank God, I enjoyed myself. Sleep, wake up. So as we are in that plane, I just hand over. I said, God, I just hand over the plane to you. Just take charge. No, in the middle of while I was praying, God was just ministering to me. That, do you know that the pilot is not even the one that is controlling this plane? Because they just press button. They press button. But I am the one that is controlling them. So why can't you? You don't need to commit that plane to me and I will take charge. And that is what we do. We rest our mind in him because he is in control. He is the one that is going to where we don't know. He is the one that goes far to the sky. Because I wonder, sometimes I just be looking at the plane. And when they take off, and you don't see the plane any longer. You don't see it any longer because it's right in the sky. And God is there. And the temperature over there is so very cold. Imagine, honestly, this our God is just awesome. When you think about him, you just give him, you know, they say it in Yoruba, you give him the Sara because he's able and worthy to take it. So all we need to do is just rest in him, but allow him, yield yourself to him. Don't put him on the side. Always acknowledge the Spirit of God in your life. And God will always give us direction because he has given us the power. So commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Same thing about that trip. I asked God, I said, God, if truly you are the one that really wants me to go and celebrate for my mom, just bring everything to perfection. I just hand it over to him. Because before, I would just be thinking, oh, how would it? But I just handed it over to him, and he took care of it. He went and did all that. That's what he does. We don't need to worry about anything. All we need to do is to commit everything to him. But remember, don't have your own agenda and be thinking that God will not guide you. Don't have any agenda. Just say, God, what is your agenda? And sometimes, even not sometimes, all the time, God wants us to be sincere with him. I always pray that prayer. I'm always sincere. I say, God, this is what I have in mind. But is this what you want? If what I have in mind is not what you want, God, just take it away. I don't want to have what I have in mind to just, you know, like double cross or just be like a fake stuff. But God, I want you to show me what you want, because you want us to be real. So don't let us have our own agenda in mind and now be saying, God, guide me. But you know, me and you, we know that, oh, we have our own agenda in mind. We don't have to have our own agenda in mind. Just hand it over to him. Lord, this is my life. What do you want for me? Even though I have this in mind, but I'm laying it to you because I don't want to hold on to it, because it may not be what you want for me. We have to be very careful about that. So Psalm 37 verse 5. You don't need to put it on. I have it here. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. When we trust him, he's always there, because he said the Holy Spirit is our helper. That is the helper that he has sent to us. We cannot afford to go after the guidance of our own human thinking in any way, because the harm of the flesh will always fail. But when we ask God's face in prayer for everything, he will guide and direct us in the right path. Luke 11:9-13. Psalm 105 verse 4. We'll read that one. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. When we search for him, we have to search for him with the whole of our heart. As a mother that is searching, and out of a crowd of children in the school, maybe you go and pick up your child. You start looking. Where is my child? Immediately you see your child. Do you recognize who your child is? So the same way, we have to search with the whole of our heart. We have to search for him. And you have to seek for his strength. And you have to continually seek him. And he will give us direction as we seek him by the grace of God. So take time to regularly consult God first in everything. Everything. I remember when I had issue at my house. I don't know how or what to do then. I went to God. I said, God, I noticed something in this house that is not right. I don't know what it was. But God, I commit this house unto you. Continually, I prayed that prayer every day. I said, God, from the roof to the foundation, whatever is not of your will, expose it. Do not let it be hidden. I pray that prayer every day. I will come back, notice signs, see stuff, but continually I pray to God, and to God be all the glory. He revealed himself. He did not allow any evil to be hidden. He exposed it. But the saddest thing is, what happened? I wasn't thinking of it to happen, because I thought this soul would be saved. But he decided that he doesn't want to. Same way, God wants every soul to be saved. He does not want any soul to go to hell. He wants every soul to be saved. That is the reason why we have to continue to pray that God, wherever the gospel have not reached in the whole continent, in the whole world, let Jesus be revealed unto them, because he does not want anybody to be destroyed. He wants every soul to be saved. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit. We cannot overemphasize it. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. We have to seek his guidance diligently. You know, when you are doing stuff diligently, students, when you go to school, you are studying. You want to become a doctor. You know how many years you have to go to college before you get to that stage and start prescribing medication and all that? Long years, maybe like, is it 14 or 15? Praise the Lord. You see, those long years, those people, they decided that I want to be a doctor. I want to be a medical doctor. And they go through those years because they diligently decided. So the same way, we have to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit diligently with the whole of our strength. So let God direct and guide us in all, in his will, through the Holy Spirit, because he will guide us, because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. You see, when the Holy Spirit guides us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to take over, we'll be able to love. We'll be able to do things that you cannot do with your own human strength or understanding. That is Paul's prayer. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, guide our steps to you. And may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may strengthen and confirm and establish your heart faultlessly, pure and unblameable in holiness in the sight of our God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, with all his saints, the holy and glorified people of God. Amen, so be it. Thank God. That's one of our babies. To God be all the glory. The young shall grow. If we truly love God, we will seek God's guidance. And as we seek God's guidance, we will find ourselves being responsive to and controlled by the Spirit of God to love other people more fully. Even the unlovable, it will help us to love them, because we are not doing it by our own strength. Number three, trust in his guidance and direction. We have to trust in the guidance. You know, when we seek his guidance diligently and he gives us direction, he guides us, we have to now trust in his guidance and direction. Having total trust, rely in the Lord to guide and control our lives through the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So we have to trust him with the whole of our heart. And never trust in our own self, but trust him completely, and he will now guide us. We have to be very careful not to trust in our own opinion or thoughts, because the Bible says in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the heart, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is God talking to us that our own thought is not his own thought. Our ways are not his own ways. So that means when we seek God through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have to trust him completely. For whatever he gives us, whichever direction is leading us. God desires to guide us. As he guides us, we will learn to trust him more. And as we trust him more, we will learn to yield and obey his instruction. Because we have to yield and obey his instruction. That is very important. Understand that we cannot navigate life successfully, trusting in our own human ability, in our own human understanding, in our own human agenda. Because only God and his Spirit knows the right way. That is the reason why we have to trust him completely. So my brothers and my sisters, our God-given responsibility as his children, saved by grace, not by our own effort, not by any works of things that we have done or that we can do, because we can do all things through him that gives us strength, is to trust and follow his leading and guidance with the whole of our heart and with the whole of our mind. Because in Christ we live, in Christ we move, in Christ we have our being. So I encourage us this morning. This is part one. We will continue the part two another day by the grace of God. So I encourage us this morning. Let us trust and yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. And yield completely our lives to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our greatest example. Jesus Christ yielded to the obedience of the Father. He said he has come to do the will of the Father. Even at the last minute, before he went to the cross, he said, I wish that this cup should be taken away from me. But Lord, not my will, but Lord, let your will be done. That is the same thing that should be our profession every day. Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. Even at the last minute, if I'm making a decision that is outside of your will, Lord, let it not work if this is not your will. Lord, let your will come to perfection in my life. Can we all rise up, please?